So we are introducing Generation Z, and as we said this morning, this is not my material. Here are some of the books that we used for this study. If you're going to read just one of these, this Meet Generation Z would be the one I would read. It is not so textbooky. There are a few pictures, and it's quasi-entertaining. And then this book also is done by Barna Study. So this all this information is from these books. We talked this briefly this morning about why we study generations, why generations are even looked at, different areas, different groups do these things. Of course, for marketing, political trends, and those kind of things are all parts of why generations are studied. We talked about the saddest verse, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It's when generation forgets God. But God gave us other information, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, the Shema, this is supposed to be the stopgap to keep generations from turning away from God. If we're doing this generation from generation, generations are raising up to know God. And the New Testament has verses like this as well. It was read for us this evening. So the Bible talks a lot about generations, is very, very concerned about generations. Now the fun part about tonight is we're going to talk about ourselves. Everybody loves doing that, right? So now as we look at our different generations, just a disclaimer. One, I was not around in some of your generations that we'll be talking about. So if you come up to me afterwards and say, well, that wasn't what we did, or we did this too, I said, well, this is only supposed to be a very short presentation. And I wasn't there, so I can't really say for certain everything. I just Googled it, okay? So so we'll get to that. But also, with this information, you can't take this information and go to somebody and say, well, I know who you are psychologically now because I've studied about your generation. That is not accurate, all right? These are broad brushstrokes, information that generally happened in this time frame. And if you took an average person from this time frame, they might agree with these statements, okay? This is not a psychological profile of everybody in this generation, all right? So just be careful with the information and be careful with what we assume, and we'll try to be honest with it. But have you heard of the Silent Generation? All right. Silent Generation, born 1925 to 1945, characterized by peace, jobs, suburbs, television, rock and roll, the Korean War, Vietnam War generation, the first hopeful drumbeats of civil rights. A lot of change starts in this time frame. Pre-feminism, what are we talking about pre-feminism? What changed here? Women typically stayed at home. Have you seen Leave It to Beaver? Anybody? Leave It to Beaver? Okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. It was a black and white show. We'll talk, Google it. Okay, so Leave It to Beaver. Men pledged loyalty to a corporation. Once you had a job, you typically stayed with that job. And that's Silent Generation. As we continue the Silent Generation, marriage was for life. Marriage was for life. Things have changed. In grade school, are y'all ready for this? Passing notes and gum. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so those are some bad things that happened in grade school. Retirement means to sit in the rocking chair and your final days in peace, right? Some of you are laughing. Strong sense of transgenerational common values. That means it doesn't matter. There are values that are values beyond one generation. And they're all absolute truths. And of course, disciplined, self-sacrificing, and cautious. The Silent Generation, all right? Now we're going to be talking about the boomers. Any boomers in here? Yes, there are some boomers here. Not going to raise my hand. Okay, so boomers. I want to say also that there are subsets inside every generation. By subsets, I mean those that are early on in a generation might have some of the same characteristics of the generation before. And likewise, towards the end of a generation, they might have some of the characteristics of the one coming up. So there's some subsets. But if we look at the boomer generation, you have the hippies. Not going to raise hands if you're guilty of being hippie. Or if you're guilty of wearing penny loafers. Not going to ask, all right? If you're a yuppie, not going to ask. If you drove a Volvo and wore penny loafers. Not going to go there. But this is the rock and roll generation. Ushered in free love, nonviolent protests. Women of this generation began working outside the home in record numbers, and we'll see how that affected the next generation. And then, of course, the first TV. I mean, there were TVs before, but like generally this is when TVs were much more prominent, okay? And so it wasn't just this generation that had problems with screens, okay? However, I mean, it wasn't quite the programming that we have today. You can't say back then there were 300 channels and nothing was on, all right? So it was very different. They didn't have remotes necessarily until later on. So anyway, we won't talk about that. Also, the first divorce generation. Divorce was beginning to be more accepted and tolerated. Began accepting homosexuality. Optimistic, driven, team-oriented. This is where those team dynamic, trust fall kind of things started. Tend to be more positive about authority and that kind of structure. One of the largest generations, but not the largest anymore. One of the largest, but not the largest anymore. And the first generation where retirement was, what are we going to do now that the kids are gone, right? 18, you're out, and it's now our turn to enjoy retirement. That was retirement, or is retirement, for baby boomers. Some of you are, yes, okay. are there some Gen Xers in the house? All right, we talked about parents being two-income families and moving and working. What did that usher in for Generation X? Latchkey kids. Latchkey kids are those kids that came home from school with a key and were home by themselves until mom and dad got home, right? And so there were a lot of those kind of things. Punky Brewster, anybody? Okay, a few of you out there, yes, rocking the Punky Brewster, all right. And so they're very, very different, very kind of on their own kind of atmosphere. Cynical of many major institutions. Because they watched these institutions fail their parents. And so they were also during the 80s, and there were some very tumultuous times financially and those kind of things as well. And so they're very cynical, still very cynical, Breakfast Club kind of individuals, okay? That's what we're looking at for Gen Xers. Raised in the generation transition phase between written-based knowledge and digital archives. We remember, Gen Xers remember, floppy disks, right? Floppy disk and feeding in floppy disk and dial tone for AOL, right? So that's Gen X. Gen X, not married to a career. Not married to a career. We're changing. We're doing it. And that's going to be the same kind of thing for future generations. Also, AIDS begins to spread and is the first lethal infectious disease which was not subject to any quarantine. So things are changing. Individual rights prevailing over common good, right? That starts to be the case. We start turning our heads in that direction. School problems were about drugs. How many of you remember DARE? And like the police car that was parked out front with DARE across of it. And then Scruff McGruff, anybody? Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 65612. All right, so some of you are out there. Those were things that were part of Gen X. Late to marry after a cohabitation. Buy now, pay later. Short on loyalty. Weary of commitment. This is a generation that says, I don't believe in organized religion. Because they don't believe in organized anything. Okay? So that's why you hear about this. And we might be a little self-absorbed, suspicious of all organizations and Big Brother. So, broad brushstrokes, people. Don't be judgy. Okay. All right. Millennials. All right. Now we can all talk about millennials. We can all feel comfortable, breathe easy, and talk about millennials, also known as the 9/11 generation or echo boomers, because they were huge. They dwarfed the boomer generation. And so there was the boomer generation, and then the little Gen X generation, and then millennials blew up as far as population. Nurtured by omnipresent parents, also known as helicopter parents, right? So, one young man, I was talking to him about something, I can't remember what it was, and he started doing this to me, to me. I said, young man, you will learn to when to use sarcasm, when not to use sarcasm. This is a time to not use sarcasm. But with this, we have falling crime rates, falling teen pregnancy, But school safety issues. What are our problems with school safety issues? It's dangerous at school. It's very, very different than passing notes and bubblegum, right? They schedule everything, but they may not show up. and feel an enormous academic pressure to succeed. You got to get this degree, you got to do this kind of atmosphere for millennials. Also, prefer digital literacy. As they grew up in the digital environment, have never known a world without computers. And they get all their information and most of their socialization from the internet. With unlimited access to information, they tend to be assertive with strong views with varied reasoning skills. So I can have strong views. I believe in this, but I can't argue my point, right? The earth is flat, but I can't argue my point, right? So there's a lot of those kind of things. The world is more 24/7, kind of always open, want fast and immediate processing. They've been told over and over again that they're special, and they expect the world to treat them that way. They do not live to work. They prefer a more relaxed environment with a lot of hand-holding and accolades. What do we call that? Participation trophies, right? This is a generation raised on participation trophies. All right. So, which means everybody's the same, everybody gets everything, and we'll talk more about that later. So, again, we're all getting our own fair share. We're all sharing. Nobody's hiding in here tonight. We're getting all this information out. But Gen Z, that's what we're here to talk about. A lot of debate about the actual age of Gen Z. You can go 3 to 4 years on either side of these dates. But they are the iGen, the digital natives, the founders is what they call themselves according to MTV. Homeland generation. We talked about in Bible class this morning, why would they be called the homeland generation? Well, when they go and fly or travel anywhere, what are they doing? They're taking off their shoes. They're holding their hands up and getting scanned and that kind of stuff. So they're after this homeland security type enforcement. Postmillennials, plurals. They constitute 25.9% of the U.S. population. Should we pay attention to what's going on with Generation Z? Yes, we should. Guess what? Those who sell anything, Amazon, for example, they've been paying attention a long time ago. Because by 2020, they'll constitute 40% of all consumers. 40% of all consumers. And also possibly the last generation we ever talk about. Because things are happening so quickly and so fast that we may not be talking. But again, that's just an assumption on the specialists and what they're talking about. So a lot happening with Gen Z. So since Gen Z has been alive, hybrid cars have always been produced. Always been produced. Google has always existed. Four foul-mouthed kids have always been playing in South Park. They have never licked a stamp. Emails are the formal mode of communication. Texts and tweets are more informal. Hong Kong was always under Chinese rule, which doesn't mean anything in Gen Z. Wi-Fi is treated as an entitlement. There are places that are trying to say that you need to, a government needs to supply water, electricity, and Wi-Fi. That's the government's job. They're trying to do that. The announcement of the first woman to hold a position impressed only their parents. Well, that's changed. That's not that important anymore. Charlton Heston is more recognized for waving a rifle over his head than a staff. NRA, anybody? Okay, some of you. What is he talking about? Okay. If you say around the turn of the century, they're going to ask, which one? Right? Which one? What are you talking about? I don't have to say anything. They join Harry Potter through all 7 books and their reading skills. Therapeutic marijuana has always been legal somewhere, and The Lion King has always been on Broadway since Gen Z has been around, all right? So some defining markers of Gen Z. According to Gen Z, now I want to say this up front. When you poll a young generation, you are going to have young and naive ideals until, you know, they kind of get older. And so there are some of those in some of these stats, because this is the world where they are right now. But according to them, 150,000 surveyed, their strengths, top character strengths, are honesty, kindness, humor, fairness, judgment, according to them. We'll see that that is not 100% honest. As some of you remember in class this morning, we talked about immorality. Only 33% of Gen Z believe that lying is a moral issue, that lying is morally wrong. Only 33% believe lying is morally wrong. So when we look at this, and the first one is honesty, we might want to think about that one, right? But this is according to them. But we do value individual freedom, financial security, happiness, meaningful work. Motivation is found in achievement or making a difference in something they believe in, that they believe in. They are less motivated by public recognition, acceptance, or competition, or participation trophies. That is not a big deal anymore. Recession marked, the worst economic era since World War II began in 2007. And they saw their parents go through that. And so that has marked, that's why there's this push to be to do and be more resourceful. 42% report expecting to work for themselves. We'll see how that turns out. Doing business for social causes, social entrepreneurship is one of their top career choices. Just to give you perspective, when the tragedy at Marjory Stoneman Douglas happened, which generation was in the forefront? Which generation was getting interviewed? Which generation was on all the TV media sources? It was Gen Z. It was Gen Z. They're the ones that are big into social causes. So that helps put things in perspective. Also, attacks and gun threats. Shock, but they don't surprise. That is as normal. They are Wi-Fi enabled, as we know. They can find whatever they want without the help of libraries, teachers, or brick-and-mortar shops. They don't need those things anymore. I'm going to tell on myself, I took my children to the library after not having been in a library for a long time. Long time. Guess what I was looking for? Card catalog. It had been that long. The lady looked at me like I was from Mars, and she's like, we have computers. I was like, oh yeah, forgot about that. But they don't even do that. I mean, do we really even need to do that anymore? Ivan, it happened. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry it happened. We don't even need to do that anymore. Much of our libraries and everything are even online. You don't have to necessarily go to a library unless you want to rent the DVDs, right? Unless you want the DVDs, you got to go to the library. Digitally customizable. They have an online and offline identity. 75% are comfortable managing multiple identities online. Multiple. Some of us are like, how do I get the Googles to work? And they're doing multiple online identities, right? Guess where that identity is not? It is not in Facebook, right? It's not in Facebook. Because guess what? That's where y'all are, all right? So that's where we are. And so they're not on Facebook anymore. But they do feel, 42% feel that social media plays a direct role in how they feel about themselves. Social media plays a direct role in how they feel about themselves. Let me just put this out here for you. Again, these are broad brushstrokes, and this is not every one of our youth. I want to say also that our youth are the exception. Our youth are exceptional. All right, so they're not the ones that are going to necessarily fit all of these categories. All right, so after this presentation, you can't go grab one of our youth and say, "What are you thinking?" All right, these are broad brushstrokes. Okay. But one thing that is true with this generation is that they put themselves out there and they groom the information that is put out there. You can't just throw information out there and post anything. You have to doctor it and groom it, and it has to be the best of who you are to put forth that information out there. And so it's they do that in order to, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment on another slide. So. Very diverse, multiracial children are the fastest growing youth group in the United States. 49% identifying as non-white. It is estimated by the conclusion of 2020 census, more than half of the U.S. youth population will be part of a minority ethnic group. They are sexually fluid. Only 48% identify as exclusively heterosexual. Just take that in for a second. Less than half identify as exclusively heterosexual. Again, broad brushstrokes. 81% don't feel that gender defines a person like it used to. It was in 2015 the homosexual marriage was legalized, right? And so it's not really that big a deal anymore. They are the product of social choices made by previous generations. We can't look at this generation and say, what happened? What'd we say about generations before? Mom started going to the workplace, latchkey kids, free love, AIDS, all these things are cascading into this generation. We can't say, well, they should just pull themselves together. Half of it's our fault. And by our, I mean broad brushstrokes again. Our fault. So we need to be aware of this. This is the first generation to raised in a post-Christian context. I'm not a fan of saying necessarily that our nation's a Christian nation. Because while our nation, there were some precepts that were founded on as our nation, and there are, God is mentioned in our nation more than any other, we are not this perfect Christendom as a nation. Never have been. We've always had mistakes, right? Because we're what? People. Okay? But we are, as far as a Christian concept, that what we thought was what was going on, that's gone. That's gone. The fastest growing religious group are the nons, the non-affiliated, not affiliated with any religious group. On one hand, that's great, because guess what? When I study with somebody, they might not have the religious baggage that we have to deal with sometimes when you're teaching somebody else. But it also means the people we're evangelizing to don't know the books of the Bible. You can't assume they know the story about Noah, right? You can't assume they have any biblical knowledge whatsoever. And so we have to be careful. And again, this information is used, one, to protect ourselves and to be aware, but also used to evangelize, right? And used to help put a context on how we need to talk to those that are around us. All right, so the world according to Gen Z. They are screenagers, all right? Have you heard of nomophobia? You've seen it. You've seen it. How many of you have seen what happens to a teenager when you take their digital device away from them? Have you ever wondered what the biblical definition of weeping and gnashing of teeth looks like? That's what that is. All right? 31% are in front of a screen 4 to 8 hours. 26% more than 8 hours. Physically safer, but psychologically more vulnerable. Teen pregnancy is a low, but teen depression and suicide has skyrocketed. Linear thinking is giving way to choppy, disjointed, overlapping information. Why would you think that? Have you scrolled through the internet before? What happens? Things pop up, right? And we start chasing different information. And so very similar, the way they've processed or take in information has kind of formed how they think, the broad brushstroke they. 54% use media to meet new people. Online is a good place to discuss opinions and ideas, which is good. FOMO, fear of missing out, is a big deal. By fear of missing out means that if I have an opportunity to attend something and I miss it, then I miss out on what happened at that event. And it's even exaggerated whenever I see pictures posted online of all the fun people had at that event and I wasn't there. Fear of missing out. 31% say they looking at other people's posts make them feel better or worse about themselves. In most cases, worse. 31% say worse about themselves. Because what did we say before? The information that's going on there is groomed. I don't put just craziness on there, right? I put the best of myself in front of everybody. And now I come along and read and scroll through that, and I compare the best that everybody's gone through, the groomed images that everybody's putting on Facebook or putting on, well, I'm sorry, Instagram, and then comparing it to my worst moments. And I can't live up to that. 33% say they've been bullied online. How many of you remember bullies? Some of you are like, have a nervous tick. Okay, so there we had bullies, and we could run home and be safe, right? It's not the case anymore. In a normal situation, you could go home and kind of escape, close the door, and escape from that thing. That's not the case anymore. You can continue to be bullied online, and it's global, right? It is not something that's so, again, that's why there's so much pressure to be careful about what's put on social media. Their worldview is post-Christian. Let me go through this very quickly. 10% of boomers, and so we see how this changed over time. Number of Gen Z identifies as atheists is doubled. Again, spiritual blank slate. And those that identify as having a faith, 53%, still believe in God, but only 48% attend a service recently. So not exactly what we'd say the most consistent. Safe spaces, safe zones. Have you heard of those things? They've been in the news, right? You've heard about safe spaces. One thing about Gen Z is they do not like to make people feel bad. How many of you have heard the word or used the word triggered? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so triggered. Some of you guys are, they know what I'm talking about. So if I say something that brings up a bad memory, then I've triggered somebody. It's also used if I say something and I make somebody mad, I can trigger. There's several different ways of using it. I Googled it. But there are several different ways of using that word, but trigger words. And they're very cautious about doing that and triggering other people. This concept renders opposing ideas as taboo. I can't talk about my ideas opposing somebody else's without triggering them. Again, in general. So this kind of idea of protecting people from what they don't want to hear is harmful. Why? Because now nobody has different ideas. We can't just talk. How am I going to evangelize in a world where nobody wants to hear anything opposing? I don't want to hear your ideas. That's good for you, but not for me. What we saw in class this morning is that truth, the concept of truth, has changed quite a bit. In the past, truth was this overarching umbrella that everybody stood under. All right? Now, truth are all these little bubbles, right? Everybody has their own truth bubble. Sometimes they intersect, most of the time they don't. I can have my truth, you can have your truth, and you can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we're just fine, right? Don't trigger me, okay? But that's now try to evangelize in that, all right? Now try and work in that idea. deeply reluctant to make anxious about making declarative statements. I believe this to be certain and true, right? That's a difficult thing for most of Gen Z. Real safe is a myth for Gen Z. For the millennial, they are like Harry Potter. I'm special, and we can defeat evil if we stick together. That's the millennial, all right? Gen Z is a little bit more dystopian. Hunger Games, I just want a quiet place to live and die. If you want just to kind of... if you want just kind of broad brush... They're like, that's right. Okay, so Gen Z, they haven't, and some of them haven't even worked yet. So again, this is more towards the higher end. Some of them haven't even thought about getting a job yet. But those that haven't really experienced a livable wage. It's Gen Z that's crying out for what minimum wage? A higher minimum wage, right? We want more minimum wage. That's why there's a push toward working for self. They've never known a country without war. The world is unsafe, and they're not apt to be optimistic about the future. With culture changing minds about gender, they are no longer safe in their own bodies. What I thought was true could be different. Even my sexual identity can be different. So where I might have had a relationship with somebody, a close relationship with another male, people are telling me that that's a sexual relationship. A David and Jonathan close relationship between two males is now being touted as a sexual relationship. It has to be sexual. It can't be anything else. And vice versa in the other genders. Not safe in their own bodies. They are diverse. We talked about Hunger Games, Divergent, Moana, Avengers, Age of a Woman is here. Hashtag She-Ra. 80 started that, by the way, just so you know. Some of you have no idea who She-Ra is. You can Google it. Traditionally, more men have gone to college in the past. But however, fall of 2018 saw those enlisted in college, 56% were women. So times are changing. Kindergartners, it started in 2016. That was the first year that minority ethnicities made up a majority of students, and whites a minority. So again, that's changing. 59% say they have friends of different sexual persuasion. They are diverse. They are a very diverse generation. And a lot of that's a melting pot of who we are as a nation, but a lot of it's diversity in thought and diversity in what is true. And we'll close with this one. Parents are double-minded. There are helicopter overprotective parents. We talked about that. You know, the Christmas story, wrap them in, you know, all that kind of bundle them up before they go outside kind of idea. But there are others who are underprotective, usually in the area of media, and they try to avoid this label. How many of you have heard of free-range parenting? All right? That's the legit thing. We're not talking about chickens, all right? Free-range parenting. We're just going to let them go and do their thing. We're just not kind of there to make sure they don't die, but let them make choices. I'm going to let my child choose whether or not they go to church. I'm going to let my child choose whether or not they go to school. Should a child be left to make big choices like that? No, they should not. They are not capable of making that kind of choice. There's also sharenting. Sharenting is the idea as oversharing personal information on social media. 92% of children have an online identity by age 2. Because guess what? We're sharing pictures. You guys are freaked out. What in the world? Okay, so that does not mean they have a personality profile anywhere. That means that they have a foot stamp online because everybody's shared all their pictures. They've shared their even before they were born, they've shared pictures of them. So there's all those kind of things that are out there. But even going so far as sharing problems they have with their child, little Timmy has issues at school, what should I do? And then share that out there. And then everybody opines on what we should do with little Timmy, right? Or whatever. And little Timmy's sitting at home rocking in the corner, why is my mom sharing that information? And so, you know, those are not a sharing thing. That's oversharing, right? Oversharing. In 1971, 80% of third graders walked to school. How many of you walked to school when you were a kid, right? How many of you walked to school uphill both ways? All right. When I was your age, right? All right. But now how many are walking to school? How many would say you're crazy as a parent to let your kid walk to school? All right. So things have changed. Children with over-involved and controlling parents suffer psychological blowback in college. How many of you have seen that happen? I've had friends that were just like, I mean, down to what they wore on what day, just controlled. And then when they got to college, they were the crazy ones, right? Just insane crazy. And so there's blowback because of that. Or they're the ones that are hiding in their room because they can't make decisions on their own. So there's two sides of that. I've seen them both, right? So it's not a pretty picture. So also, hands-off parenting has led to more problems for Gen Z. At a time when they need greater protection and norms, parents are like, whatevs, do your thing, you do you. You know I'm right. Parents are doing that. Is that healthy? No. Should children be left to their own devices? No, they should not. They need the norms. They need guidance. They need protection. They need growing up in a scenario that somebody's watching out for them because nobody else out there is. And we talked about this morning how it's important that this changes If this information scares you, you know the number one thing that will change this information is if your children, if our children, if our grandchildren are involved in the church and brought up knowing God and brought up with the faith. When they're brought up with a biblical worldview, this information changes drastically. And we saw that this morning. We didn't talk about that this morning because it would be awkward for you guys. So we left you guys out of that discussion. But that was something that would be drastically different. We can't let them make important decisions that we as parents should make. Parents, we need to step up to the plate and make the decision. If they whine and moan, it doesn't matter. At least we'll be in heaven together. We need to make sure that we're making those decisions. And being parents that care, and being parents that are present, and being parents that sometimes helicopter, but at least you're not dead, right? And so those things. I want to close by talking about another parent. James chapter 1, verse 17 talks about the Father of lights. And he says, with this Father there's no variation or of shadow, no shifting of shadow with this our Father in heaven. He is constant. He remains faithful and true and just and righteous and gracious throughout all of history. True, he's asked different things of us, right? He's asked different things of us. He's asked for us to come to him in different ways in different times, but is now commanding all men everywhere to repent. That's the message. He is now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, we are called by the gospel. This Father of lights is calling us by the gospel. That gospel message is, I've sent my Son to die for your sins. If you believe in him, repent, turn from your sins, believe that Christ is the Son of God, follow him, put on Christ in baptism, in immersion, Romans chapter 6, being clothed in him, being raised to walk in newness of life, and follow and live after him faithfully. That's what our Father, who doesn't turn, doesn't change, omnipresent, always loving, asks for you. If you need to make that decision, would you please come now as we stand and as we sing.